Foreign military intervention has now changed the facts on the ground in Libya, but the rebellion against Muammar Gaddafi remains a part of the larger tapestry of anti-government protests throughout the Middle East. We invited Stephen Cook to help us frame events in Libya and in that larger regional context. Cook is a Mideast analyst at the Council on Foreign Relations. He tells us Gaddafi's response to the rebellion has been shaped by what he's seen elsewhere.
Gaddafi has learned the lesson of the Tunisians and the Egyptians. What happened in Egypt and Tunisia was a melting away of the fear factor by which Mubarak in Egypt and Ben Ali in Tunisia ruled. Gaddafi was determined, remains determined, to ensure that the fear factor very much remains in Libya.
So what does that say for other places right now where monarchies, dictatorships are in trouble? And it seems like every day there's another one that's arising. I mean, beyond Libya, looking at, of course, Bahrain, which has been going on for some time now, Yemen, Syria. So which right now do you have your eyes on most?
Well, certainly Yemen. It seems that President Ali Abdel Saleh is on the ropes. There has been important defections from his camp on the part of senior military leaders. So it seems that he, in fact, learning the lesson from Gaddafi by opening fire, actually did the exact opposite of what he intended to do. By killing 50 people last Friday, he has split his own regime and galvanized the opposition. You had now about 150,000 people in the streets of Sana'a, the capital of Yemen, as opposed to much smaller numbers prior to this incident.
Okay, let me just interrupt for 1 second,
Stephen, sure.
Because we did see defections among top-ranking officials, including military officials with, in fact, flying in military jets in Libya. But as you say, in Yemen, the violence seems to have had a different effect.
That's exactly right. You have to chalk that up to the fact that Gaddafi is perhaps a much better political operator in his own country than President Ali Abdel Saleh. Gaddafi was able to purge those who were wavering against using force against his own people. That hasn't happened in Yemen. And as a result, these defections of senior officials in Yemen pose a much more significant problem for Ali Abdel Saleh. But still, we have seen throughout the region that the use of force has actually, in ways, had the opposite effect of what they've intended. You're not seeing that, though, in Bahrain. In Bahrain, the authorities, with the help of the government of Saudi Arabia and Saudi Arabian forces, as well as a small contingent from the United Arab Emirates, have cleared out Pearl Square, used force and dispersed these groups and are engaged in a widespread crackdown.
But what's the difference there? I mean, why more impotence on the part of the protesters in Bahrain?
They did not have the kind of numbers out in the streets in the same way that you had in percentage-wise. Bahrain's a very small country, but you didn't have the same kind of numbers that you had, for example, turning out into the streets in Yemen or large numbers in Cairo's central square. And at the same time, you also have security forces that were willing to do the bidding of the ruling family in Bahrain. Security forces in Egypt, in particular the military, was not willing to open fire on protesters.
So really, the key here, it seems like, in each of these places is to what extent the military is allied with the government and able to and willing to go up against the protesters.
That is certainly the case. The military has become a critical factor in politics in all of these countries. For a long time, the belief was that the militaries were the backbones of these regimes. But once leaders like Hosni Mubarak threaten by their own actions to plunge the country into chaos, militaries will act to prevent this kind of mass instability. The militaries have become the critical factors in how countries deal with this political unrest. Where they have been unwilling but powerful enough to stand up to the dictators, you have had outcomes like you have in Tunisia and Egypt. The military in Libya was not as institutionalized, not as powerful, not as much of a national organization as you had in either Egypt or Tunisia. And as a result, you have a different outcome.
So looking at it from the United States perspective, in terms of U.S. interests, how do you characterize where the U.S. stands in the region right now, given it has cast its lot over the decades with leaders in each of the places we're talking about?
Well, the temptation, Lisa, is to describe U.S. policy as confused at the moment. But it's difficult to have consistency in foreign policy. We have aligned ourselves with a series of dictators who have helped the United States create a regional political order that makes it easier for Washington to achieve its objectives. The problem is, of course, when your friendly dictators, friendly to the United States, do things that cut against the grain of American values. It's difficult to deal with them in those situations. The contrast is someone like Gaddafi, who has not been an ally of the United States, and someone who we don't like, and even his fellow Arabs don't like. And so as a result, it is actually easier to engage in the types of military operations against Gaddafi in the hopes that somebody else will emerge as a partner for the United States.
Stephen Cook, Mideast analyst at the Council on Foreign Relations in Washington, thank you very much.
Thank you, Lisa.